Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio!
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 This is the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont. And if there's one place to listen to on the internet, every Thursday, 9 p.m., Yakuza Kick Radio, Tremont says so. Who wants some?
God help us, Jesus! God and baby, Jesus! Help us!
Ladies and gentlemen of fucking America, this is Danny Havoc, and you have been listening to, or possibly are intending to listen to, the Yakuza Kick fucking radio. Fucking, yeah, Yakuza Kick radio.
Hell fucking yeah!
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
You're coming to come on Thursday night in
This is a brotherhood, and we all stick together. Like my nuts.
I ain't scared of you, motherfucker.
Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Everybody's a cunt but me in the world. I don't know what it is.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity Toby Klein, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird.
Oh, I don't like the cut of your jib, fella.
This is Greg Excellent, Bearded Dragon of the Northeast. You're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. If you're not, probably watching porn and you have this muted. You should be listening to it. Jason Mann.
Where are Biggie and Tupac?
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Give a nigga rope on this cowboy, guys.
All you have to do is listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that guy, you homie. Fuck that. Black D.
Bullshit, man. Motherfucker. Fuck you. Fuck you and fuck you. Who's next?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the introduction.
Hosted by J. Cat Morris.
You are now listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
Wednesday, August 8th, 2012. Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host, J. Cat Morris. As always, oh man, I'd like to thank all of zero people in the chat room. This is a phenomenal feeling. Anyway, I have a bunch of stuff to talk about tonight. One thing I'm going to get into very, very heavily is CZW. Probably brush across Raw. And, I got a guest in there. That's sweet. I'm going to brush across Raw, maybe hit a couple other topics and stuff like that. But my big, big topic tonight, and anybody who knows this show knows that I cover, I'd say easily, hands down, more CZW than probably even CZW covers. I have been a loyal, long-attending and patronizing, whatever you want to call it, fan since 2001. For those who are unfamiliar, I'm gonna preface this whole thing as if nobody knows what this company is or anything like that. For those who don't know what CZW is out there, I hope you know some of the possibly new listeners, which I can never physically see in the chat room, but I can only hope that are out there listening right now. For those who don't know what CZW is. CZW is an independent wrestling company that got started back in 1999. It started out in New Jersey, and kind of as ECW was reaching its end and they started to, fall and crumble and stuff like that, John Zandig, he decided to launch a company that would rival, not even so much as rival, but take what ECW was doing and the deathmatch style and that, that quick moving, that lucha libre, that, innovative, high-flying style, and take all of that to the next level and do something more with that very thing. and do things that were never done before. Obviously, you know, very often based off of things that were done before, but then stepping it up one more level. And they started doing that back in 99. Their first four guys, students and, you know, signed up in the company guys were Justice Payne, Nick Gage, Lobo, and Rick Blade. Now, these were guys that were clearly unheard of. Now, while every other federation out there were doing their best to also redo the ECWs and try to be the WWEs, all they did was spend their I guess, hard-earned money on names that used to be in ECW, names that used to be in WWE. Not to say CZW never did that, because believe me, they did bring in your Tajiris and your Super Crazies and stuff like that. They also did have help in doing that, and you know, it did pay off, and it made for a lot of good things in CZW, so I'm not going to knock it, but that's besides the point. So what I'm saying is, though, they started out more of from the ground up company. Like, they brought their own guys. They started something that was organic. And it wasn't just, hey, here's Balls Mahoney on another card. Yeah, they used Balls Mahoney, but still, like one show. You know, they had their own breed of guys. They're newer, they're crazier, they're over the top guys that were willing to do shit that's never been done before. I mean, Lobo, to, you know, put it in this type of perspective, Lobo was pretty much CZW's Mick Foley. I mean, this is a guy that would take any bump in the world. I mean, just bump machine. He was unreal in the bumps he would take and the risks he would take and what he would put his body through. That was Lobo. Rick Blade was your Jeff Hardy. He was your guy doing swantons off of anything he wouldn't hit his head on the roof from. Doing star presses, even though he could barely pull that move off. Star presses from anywhere possible, and half the time almost killing himself landing on his neck. I mean, you know, eventually, you know, missed a swanton and broke his leg in three places off of like a 20-foot wall. And that was the beginning of the end for him. He had his resurgence here and there, but that was like the beginning of the end for him. You know, that big injury. I think two or three places, I want to say. I don't want to, you know, downgrade his injury and say he broke it. It only two, but yeah, it was pretty horrendous. Justice Payne ended up being there. Well, you know, they called him the Chameleon for a long time because he could do, wasn't the biggest deathmatch guy, but he can do deathmatches. He could do, you know, your technical wrestling. He started out as more or less a cruiserweight. There's so many different things that he could do, and he was one of those guys, one of those flagship guys that CZW used for most applications, and ended up being a big staple of what would be, you know, one of their world champions that actually was a long reigning world champion in the time that I got into CZW. The other guy would be Nick fucking Gage. Some bank tellers know him as different. But this guy was, he had the deathmatch ability of, you know, your, I guess you'd say your Mick Foley's or your Terry Funk's, or, I mean, whatever. I mean, he would take the bumps anywhere, but he had that kind of stone cold attitude where it was like, he didn't give a shit. He was going to come at you. When you knew, when this guy walked out, there was no bullshit going on. Like, he was going to fucking hurt people. That's, Nick Gage had that aura about him. Like, you know, when the guy walks out in a wrestling ring, and you know, whether you've seen this as a kid on TV or whether you've been to, you know, events and you had a home fed that you watched and you've seen that guy walk out and be like, oh shit, it's about to go down. That was Nick Gage. From the second he stepped in that company till the second, you know, well, he robbed the bank. And then, you know, he couldn't do that anymore. And I guarantee you, when he walked into the bank, they went, oh, shit, it's about to go down. So he carried that shit all the way to, you know, what he ended up doing. And that's terrible. And I hope the dude straightened his life out. You know, outside of the ring, he was a tremendous dude, one of the coolest dudes you could ever talk to, but still the same guy you'd see in the ring and just be like, oh, they're going to be sorry. This motherfucker ain't playing. And that was Nick Gage. So there's your original four. And I mean, the company continued to build from that, and you know, and involve all these different people within the company. Obviously, John Zandig, the founder of the company, he was, you know, the ultraviolet icon. He was just another one of those guys, just not to be fucked with. He was an owner that would go through hell and back to not only represent his company but protect his company. I mean, there's stories. I mean, you go watch the John Zandig 3-part shoot interview from Smart Mark Video. Cop that over there. And, you know, three separate things. And there's like, it's probably close to 6 hours or some shit like that. Like, it's ridiculous. But the dude, like, there's stories where, you know, he smacked the shit out of a promoter in Italy because they decided that they told him, you know, hey, man, we ain't got the money, so we're just going to pay you, but we can't pay your guys. He smacked the shit out of him, and everybody got paid. That was the type of stand-up dude he was. That was the type of guy. He played no bullshit, but he also took care of his guys. He wouldn't ask anybody to do anything in that ring that he wouldn't do himself. And I think that's a pretty accurate statement of what John Zandig was his own. So, okay. Hopefully everybody's caught up on what CZW is, if you didn't already know what it was. Okay. Now, I, like I said, it started up in 99. I was put onto CZW by Johnny Cashmere and Trent Acid, the Backseat Boys. Rest in peace, Trent. I attended some local shows and stuff like that. They were doing crazy ladder matches that would rival what you've seen from the, the Edge and Christian and the Hardy Boys ladder matches on TV that at the time were on fire. And he, like, they really stepped it up to the next level doing innovative spots, you know, in front of 100, 150 people. So the things that they were doing, of course, blew my mind as a fan and was just like, holy shit, dude, what's going on? Where have these guys been? And, you know, and then just going, you know, pay compliments to him after the show, like, man, that was unbelievable. You got to be kidding me with that shit. And they couldn't have been more humble of dudes. And, they, you know, more or less like, hey, man, if you like this, you got to check out CZW, man. 2 weeks from now, hey, you know, Tajiri, you know, Super Crazy. Yeah, they're on the card. Ask them a couple more questions. Who's their champion? You know, what are they doing? What kind of stuff they use? He's like, this stuff's going to blow your mind. So February 2001. I attended my first CZW show, Crushing the Competition, it was called. And it damn sure did. I mean, you saw the very beginning stages of the Briscoe Brothers. You saw the very beginning stages of the SAT, the Amazing Red, Ruckus. Guys who a lot of people are familiar with as far as the indies go right now. And at the very least, the indies. I mean, there's some of these guys, they're, you know, the TV product. And you see these guys out there, and they were just doing everything that you have and have not seen before. They did a death match, and they have, you know, it was an indoor soccer stadium, Champs Arena, if you want, arena, I guess. So, you know, they did a death match thing, and I didn't know none of these guys. You had the Wife Beater, you had I think Lord Everett DeVore, Madman Pondo, Nick Gage ended up running in during that, the whole thing. I didn't know none of these guys. I just was like, wow, these fucking guys. I mean, they're just teeing off on each other. They're hitting each other with everything in the world. They're fucking hitting moves on each other that your mind is blown watching this thing. You feel like you're on a crime scene or something, because it's that innovative. It's like, this shit doesn't happen in wrestling. Someone must be mad and just fucking taking it off script or something. Like, that was the feeling you got when you first walked into CZW. It was at least what I got. And I got the vibe that there was a lot of fans that felt the same. So, you know, the finish came to that match where the Wife Beater, he gorilla pressed this dude on top of, like I said, indoor soccer arena. You know, the ref chair, you know, the big tall ref chair stand thing. He gorilla pressed Lobo, where there was a belt hanging above it, so you had to grab the belt from up there. Lobo grabs the belt mid gorilla press, and Wife Beater gorilla presses him into flaming barbed wire tables, a stack of flaming barbed wire tables, and I mean pretty fucking high flames inside. no ventilation, fucking inside soccer arena, burning fucking barbed wire. I mean, madness. Dude gets thrown into that. The tables are still burning. There's security guards trying to pull this guy from the wreckage. He's stuck to the barbed wire. He's still clutching the belt with all of his might. I mean, you never heard of these guys before, and they're immediately doing some shit that you're like, wow, this is some, what can I say? This is some serious fucking shit. So that was my introduction to CZW, is seeing the Backseat Boys, which were more or less the new rockers. You know, they had, you know, the pretty boy gimmicks. Trent Acid was easily Shawn Michaels of the indies. And I don't think a lot of people are going to argue with that. And that's that. And sorry, Johnny, but, you know, some people got to be Jannetty. And, you know, you had that. You had, you know, the Amazing Red. You saw, like, the first standing shooting star presses. Now it's pretty, you know, common and stuff. But back then it was like, what the fuck did he just do? You've seen all of this developing stuff that wasn't even thought of on TV, you know, such since been stolen, but you did not see this type of stuff before. Just, you know, running swantons over the top rope to the outside with, you know, a dude laying on a ladder by himself. No spotting, no 18 people standing in the crowd waiting to catch the guy off a high spot. No, like risk-taking madness. And it really blew your mind. And, you know, they peppered in your Tajiris and your Balls Mahoney's or your Super Crazies, your Mikey Whipwrecks, your Tommy Dreamers. But they didn't rely on that talent for one second in order to do what they were doing. And that's what CZW was. And I regularly attended CZW from 2001 until, well, just recently. And I don't think I'm going to be back. I don't. There's a couple personal reasons, and I really depends on how into this show I get as far as if I elaborate on that as far as my live viewing. But being their internet pay-per-view thing is pretty up and popping and stuff like that. I have the option show to show to figure out whether it's worth it for me to spend $15 and sit there and watch it. I can tell you this Saturday is not worth it, and I'm not going to jump into that just yet because I have a long, long journey to take you guys on in order to explain to you why. Okay? Now, CZW has taken on a lot of forms. They've had a lot of different things happen. They've lost a lot of people. They've gained a lot of people. You've had, you know, everybody from your – and now – Daniel Bryan didn't work a CZW match, but he has stood in a CZW ring before. CM Punk has worked a CZW match before, against then world champion Justice Payne, former guest on the show. Key plug. But, you know, CZW has done a lot and been everywhere in the world. I mean, they've crossed the globe as far as, you know, where they've been and what they've done. I said, I mean, you can put it on one level and just be like, ah, they're just another indie company. Yeah, but, you know, and a lot of times they get a bad rep and it's like, oh, well, CZW, they just swing shit at people. That's all they do with the hardcore and, oh, it's too much blood. I don't like it. You know, you get a lot of that. You really do. And I've seen it. I've heard it. It's really not the truth to what CZW actually is. And, it sucks that it gets put in that light because I've seen it in so many better lights. And, well, I mean, to just put it in a... All right. Let me see. It's kind of hard to get into because I'm trying to figure out exactly the right direction to go into this. Well, let me just jump way, 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 way ahead to 2010. Okay. 2010... was, you know, pretty good year for CZW. Hold up, I gotta pause for a minute because I got this crazy shit going on in my room right now. It's like, this motherfucker smells like burnt plastic in here, and now like half of my power just went out in my room. Just, you know, just the one whole power strip. So like my TV, my fucking one fish tank, all this stuff. So I don't really know if I'm about to have a fire in this bitch or what's actually happening. So I don't know. I might have to take a early break and try something real quick. So that way I could maybe avoid my house burning down. And then I'll come back and get into exactly what I was going to say and stuff like that. Sorry for the early break. But, yeah, I got a couple songs, so I'll play one. And then I'll be back to you guys in just a minute. Let me go with this one.
Call ambulance, come and pick up your people. Call ambulance, come and pick up your people.
Okay, yeah, holy shit. I had my one power strip that goes into my wall that I went and looked at where it's plugged in because clearly everything on that power strip is cut out. I went and I looked at it, and the whole fucking wall plate is kind of scorched, and Now, nothing's on fire, but it melted one of the prongs off of the fucking plug as I pulled it out. It was like a... It melted one of the prongs off. The prong is still in the fucking wall. And, well, my house isn't on fire. But, yeah, I'm going to need a new outlet over there, like, fucking ASAP. So, yeah, now I'm going to have to run some kind of extensions to get my TV back on and my heater back on in my one fish tank. Anyway, I was talking about wrestling. Oh, fantastic. This is all fucking scrambled. So anyway, 2010, there was a lot of things that were, you know, at the forefront of what CZW was. For a good amount of 2010, the best around were their tag team champions. Well, they're gone. The one dude, he broke his leg, something fucking serious, like right in front of me. And, yeah, he's done. So he's retired. He's gone. TJ Cannon. He's finished. So that was part of their, you know, part of what their main thing was. Another thing during that year, B-Boy, who was a huge, huge fan favorite. That was a bridge completely burned, by DJ. And hey, you know, not to even completely blame DJ, even though B-Boy does, you know, he did. He came on the show, explained his part. DJ explained his part on the CZW show and completely blames B-Boy. But when it comes down to it, you know, either way, bridge burned. Huge fan favorite, not there anymore. All right. Now, the other three things there that completely went away from CZW, well, J.C. Bailey passed away. Trent Acid passed away. I mean, those, like I said, Trent Acid was the Shawn Michaels of the wrestling industry. Or not of the wrestling industry. Of the independent wrestling industry. And, you know, he meant tremendous amounts to the indies. Now, obviously, you know, in his late years with his struggles and stuff that was going on, he wasn't as... anywhere near as big of a player in wrestling. He had his demons and stuff like that, but now could he have made a comeback and, you know, became that guy again? Sure, of course. And it's a shame that, you know, we'll never ever get to see that again. So that was a huge blow to independent wrestling, losing that guy. JC Bailey, you know, made his comeback at the beginning of that year with Cult Fiction. Another thing that got a race from CZW. Now, he came back in. He became immediately, you know, one of the biggest guys in deathmatch wrestling like he always was. He came right back in full stride. He was in there doing deathmatch tournaments. He was doing everything. He was, you know, battling the Necro Butcher. They did their whole, actually, it was before that. Yeah, but, you know, he was doing all sorts of things and really, you know, stepping his game up everywhere needed. So, I mean, losing JC was another huge blow to wrestling and to CZW, of course. Now, another thing that happened after the Cage of Death that year, like I aforementioned, the Steve Austin of CZW, the guy who immediately fucking crowd stood up, marked out. Immediately, the crowd, no matter what was happening, that guy's music hit, and the crowd went, oh, fuck, it's about to get real. Nick Gage went and robbed a bank. And, you know, that's real shit. That's not, like, a fucking wrestling angle. That's not some shit that, like, anybody wanted to see happen. That's nothing that, like, he thought would be cool. Obviously, he's going through his own struggles and stuff like that, and it was a real thing. So now that locks you up for 5 years at least. So now he's locked up. So now you took CZW's biggest face and took him right out of the company. So a huge, huge blow to CZW. Cult Fiction, you know, some might not have liked them, DJ included, but they were over as a motherfucker. You had Cult Fiction shirts all over the fucking the crowd. Yeah, people chanting Cult Fiction even when they weren't there. And, you know, obviously you couldn't bring JC back, so there was no making that better or making that work. And obviously, Damage, Marvin, whatever you want to call him, had his demons too. And he was another guy who was really hard to book and hard to keep, you know, on your roster because he was kind of flighty and he had his own issues and definitely, you know, interfered with trying to book a consistent storyline with him. And I do understand that. But now, to not orchestrate that same group that already had a big enough following, losing your Nick Gages, losing your JCs, your Trents, your Best Around, your B-Boys, look at all the shit that it lost in that year. To not salvage what you could with what was working with the crowd. And this isn't just because, like, I'm friends with Billy and stuff like that. This is just real talk, man. Look around and figure out what you got to salvage with the crowd, because I'm telling you, after that year of 2010, my statement to the fucking world was, they better step their fucking game up. There's people in that locker room that need to fucking assume roles that they never had before. There's shit that needs to go on right now that has never happened before. And I'll tell you what, and if it doesn't happen, this company's in big fucking trouble. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, maybe 2 years from now. So here's where we are, all right? This is kind of like, this is why I went back to 2010, because I feel that was such a substantial amount of talent that some of them were there from the very beginning of CZW. Some of them had become big stars and part of the main event, part of the main build and draw to the company at that point in time. And when, whether it be egos, whether it be whatever, politics, whatever it was, to get all those different things happening, obviously there's some things that could not be avoided amongst the things I just listed, but there's different things that could have been changed. There's different things that could have been worked with. There's things that could have been salvaged. But a lot of times this is just the general thing is, well, we'll just go another direction. Well, fuck that. We could build over. We don't need that. No one needs nothing. You know what I mean? Everybody just wants to go their own route, do their own thing and all that shit. So that's fine. So fast forward to now 2011. Now, I'm going to go through these cards, you know, month in and month out, and I'm going to tell you some of the pretty much what I felt was the highlights of those shows. And part of what was wrong with that and part of what is going on today. And again, you can see where things did not build into where we are today. They needed to keep changing shape. And as CZW continues to change shape and loses things along the way, and they're never stopping the losing things, this is the problem. And this is where I find myself now. So, okay, January 2011. From Small Beginnings Come Great Things was the name of the show. Here we launched the Briscoes versus Philly's Most Wanted feud. Now, I thought that was fantastic. I thought it went too fast, way too fast. It got hot, heavy, quick, three shows, done, finished, over, pretty much. They started out Briscoe's Philly's Most Wanted. You know, it is what it is. I mean, it was good while it lasted, but again, three shows, two great tag teams, really trying to cement Philly's Most Wanted as the big, you know, heel tag team and doing big things on your cards and being more or less an exclusive tag team to your company. So makes a big, big difference to what you do with those guys, because other companies aren't even doing anything with them. So it would make a big difference for you guys to use them right, in my opinion. Then you got world title match on that card. John Moxley versus Brody Lee. Well, both of those guys are under developmental contracts right now. So, I guess in 2012, you could look at that as a, you know, nice little notch on your resume. But a world title match that wouldn't make a difference in today's CZW because, well, they're not here anymore. And it not that it only says, you know, a good credit to your company to say, hey, well, those were our guys then, or, you know, and Brody Lee wasn't even one of their guys. He worked there a good amount of times, but, there was a good stretch that he worked there for a while with the, Miracle Ultraviolence Connection, which was Cheech and Cloudy and Brody Lee. And they did that for a while, and that was cool. But that was more or less connection through Chikara, and they were working together. Anyway, they did Alex Colon versus Sammy Callahan. They did Adam Cole versus Ruckus. They did Gran Akuma versus Jonathan Gresham, which at the time was one of those undercard matches where you look and go, man, this is all right. And I'd seen Akuma in the past, and a lot of people had seen Akuma in the past, but this was kind of a different look, and you saw, like, him comfortable in CZW, and they were doing something with him, and it was working, and especially a guy like Jonathan Gresham, man, he was one of those guys that were just making his opponents look fantastic, and he was in there doing really, really good shit. So that was something you were like, ah, this guy's the future. But back in the day where you would see somebody in CZW and be like, oh, this guy's the future. Oh, you'd have at least a 5-year run with him being your guy. Now, you're lucky if you got 6 months before somebody else snatches him up because the greener pasture is everywhere but CZW. So that's that. And that was that show. Then you had the next month, which was the 12th anniversary show. You had another Alex Colon versus Sammy Callahan match. Another good match. Those guys, they know each other well and all that. You had the Osirian Portal thing where they did the dance-off with the Runaways and all that and the whole locker room, and that's the whole thing everybody's seen on ESPN, G4, and all that stuff. So that's where that whole buzz came from, was this little spot that they did on that show. You had Ego versus Mox for the world title. Again, neither one are here anymore. Ego left CZW earlier this year and decided that, he didn't have it in him to come out here to the East Coast anymore. He didn't, it wasn't worth him, within a shoot job to travel that. I don't know if the money was wrong getting paid wise. I don't know like that, but I'm saying like it no longer made any sense for him to come all the way out here to the East Coast for, he has a good enough job, and to take him that far away on the weekends, it didn't work anymore, apparently. So another tremendously talented guy on the main events come, 2011. And so you got those guys. That was your world title match. Mox again, Dean Ambrose. Then you had your tag titles defended or, turned over. You had Philly's Most Wanted against the Briscoes, barbed wire tables and all this type of shit. Crazy, crazy fucking match. Geez takes a power bomb over the top rope, like razor's edge type joint to the barbed wire tables. Off the hook, Philly's Most Wanted loses. Briscoes get the title. The Briscoes are on fire all over the Indies, have been for years as called the best tag team on the Indies for years now, honestly. You've had Chris Hero and Claudio. You've had a couple of the tag teams that have, had their stake. But for quite a few years, the Briscoes have had a good name as being the best tag team on the Indies. Just off of what they've done in ROH and just really solidified their name is what they've been doing. So anyway, March, which they called Status Update Fantastic, which is one of the worst named shows in the history of wrestling. G's versus Jay Briscoe, to kind of continue that thing going. then you had Ego versus Devin Moore, which was one of probably 5 or 6 times that they had them wrestle each other. And that was for the world title. And then at the end of that, John Moxley and Ego united. To be on the same side and all of that. So they set up next month, they were going to have the whole thing. It was like, it was like Philly's Most Wanted and Ego and Mox or some shit like that. And Devin Moore. And they made their teams for like non-tournament best of the best type shit. So they did that. And again, I thought that was a horribly named and executed show. So that was that either way. April, see, and through these reviews and stuff like that, these little quick rundowns I'm going to give you, I want to, for the most part, even though I'll mention them, I want to pretty much exclude best of the best and tournament of best. because those are shows that, you know, if you know CZW, they need to be judged amongst other best of the best, their Tournament of Deaths, because they're not like the shows you see every month. They're, you know, Tournament of Deaths are more, you know, deathmatch oriented, more hardcore than you'll see anywhere else, any other part of the year. It's just, it's a whole nother level. It's something that you're really not going to see anywhere else, even in CZW on any other given month. And Best of the Best is a show where you're going to see a lot of the same type of wrestling, but you're going to see it turned up a notch, and you're also going to see a lot of other talent brought in that you're not going to see every other month of the year. Of course, you always get the please come back chance. You hope to see a lot of these guys back, but it's not going to be that same roster every month. That's why it's Best of the Best. That's why they bring in other people. It's another one of those draws. You know, I always tell people, you know, if you've never seen a CZW show and you want to go to one, you see Best of the Best, Tournament of Death, or Cage of Death. Cage of Death's like their WrestleMania. Tournament of Death's their big fucking deathmatch extravaganza, you know, and Best of the Best is their, I didn't fuck that up, did I? I don't. Best of the Best is like they're pure wrestling, fucking high spots everywhere. Some of the best talent you're going to see out there. So, that's what it is. Paul's telling me to stop it. All right. So that's that. Next month was Best of the Best. They had, you know, Jack Sabre Jr. from WXW, who I think is one of the only talented people over there. Sorry, I know it's a fucking controversial statement, but I really don't value a lot of people from that company or over there at all. So there's him. There's Sakimoto, Daisuke Sakimoto from Japan. Just a block of a dude that just deadlifts Germans, motherfuckers, and like he's just, you know, and you had Jun Kasai versus Danny Havoc, and Jun Kasai is a fucking legend everywhere going as far as death matches, and just one of those guys that no matter when he shows up in CZW, the fucking crowd couldn't get any hotter than when Jun Kasai is there. You end up having Sammy and Adam Cole in the finals. Fucking Devin won the world title, which was ridiculous because everything else going on that night. Ridiculous, the Book of World title change, because it means absolutely nothing when you have Best of the Best going on, all these other fly-ins, because Jun Kasai in there, everything else, and you just meaninglessly change the world title. So they did that. But yeah, I mean, you had, you know, Sammy and Sakimoto, you had, just tremendous stuff from top to bottom. Really, really good fucking card. But again, it's not your every show. This is not what, you know, you're getting month in and month out. So, all right, next month, Proving Grounds. Gresham Akuma match again. Good stuff. Again, two guys who aren't working with the company right now. So, I mean, we're only talking last year. Look how many of the things that I point out that were the highlight of that show that are no longer with the company or are soon not to be. Easily match of the show. Dog collar match, Scotty versus Drake. One of the best dog collar matches you'll ever see. This, you know, the science that these guys put into the dog collar match is just fucking bananas. I mean, they did the fucking thing while attached to a dog collar. I mean, I don't know many other people that could do that shit. You know, obviously the chemistry between these two dudes is off the chain, but I mean, what they did in there was fucking legendary as far as CZW goes. And as the indies go, honestly, dog collar matches across the board. Fuck it. Had Sammy go up against Masada. You had Devin and Ego over the world title. You had Cole and Fox for the junior title where... you know, Cole retained, and of course, DJ involvement. So a lot of these times you're going to get this, you know, okay, well, there's something really hot. There's a match nobody's ever seen before. Oh, who pokes their fucking nose into it? Who needed to be involved with it? Oh, DJ. So that's that. But again, match of the show, Scotty Drake. Scotty ain't wrestling right now. Drake just moved to California. good for Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. That's what's going to, you know, be a gem on their cards. And I'm sure they will find a way to book Drake again. And, you know, I'll get into that a little more, though, a little further into what I'm saying. Next show, June, Prelude to Violence. Sammy versus Jay Chris. Fantastic match. These guys know each other from out in Ohio. They've worked each other before, but in CCW, this is a new match. These guys tore it the fuck up. Then you got a, you know, women's match, you know, Japan showcase for the Pro Wrestling Diana promotion. You got Kyoko Inoue versus Sumi Sakai. They fucking tore it up. I can't say enough good about this match. Easily my favorite women's match of 2011. And, yeah, again, two guys that are guys, well, two women, two performers that aren't going to be there the following month. Won't be there the next year. Won't be there, you know, really, yeah, it just, okay. All right. TLC match. Scotty versus Drake. Great fucking match again. All right. Scotty versus Drake. So then you got Tournament of Death 10, which honestly, I'll tell you straight up. Now, I always have a ball at Tournament of Death. A lot of people gave that Tournament of Death shit for being a horrible tournament or this and that. And I won't say that because I really didn't feel that way. I still had a great time. I still thought a lot of the matches were fucking insane. The Bulldozer really, you know, made a name for himself there, beating the Necro Butcher, going in there with Masada. I mean, there was a lot that went into that tournament that, to me, was still completely worth it, completely up to the standard of Tournament of Death to me. But the one thing I will say is there was no match on Tournament of Death 10 that outdid the feud that Scotty and Drake put on outside of Tournament of Death 10. So the death matches that Scotty and Drake put on in that year outside of Tournament of Death 10 were the best death matches of that year. That's my opinion. So, again, Scotty and Drake, two guys who, well, you know, ain't got them next month. And, you know, it is what it is there. But just certain things don't make sense about that type of shit. You know, as far as booking, and as far as not showcasing what you have and just using things for whatever you want, but then spinning around and putting on a tournament that people end up shitting on. And again, it ain't me. It's not my issue. But it's something that has been mentioned by quite a few people, and you could have easily main evented or put on high end that same dog collar match. You know what I mean? I mean, they could have done something that made that much more memorable. But, okay, whatever. July, New Heights. You had Jake Chris versus AR Fox. You had Sammy versus Necro, which, you know, on paper sounds great. But Sammy's forearm was all, like, he cut his forearm on some glass getting into his house or some shit. And his shit was bandaged up, so he had, like, some kind of, like, air cast, or, and it just, it wasn't anywhere near as good as it could have been. Devin versus Joker, world title. Joker threw Devin all over the fucking place. People, at the very least at this point, wanted Devin to drop the fucking title. So everybody was all set with that. And, no, didn't happen. Devin kept the title. Then you had another one of the best death matches of the year. Masada versus Danny Havoc, gusset plates death match. This was, you know, an innovation done by Masada. They had these gusset plates things. These things, like, fucking hold beams together or some crazy shit like this. And, yeah, they tear you up. And that was a great fucking match. So that was that. August, Tangled Web 4. Sammy Callahan versus BJ Whitmer. You had Dev defending his title against G's in a lumberjack strap match, which was so gimmicked out, it was retarded. They just, like, you know, fucking fans get to raffle and then whip G's with a strap because Maven's mad, and fuck out of here with that shit. It was just horribly booked. So much of this was horribly booked that year, and believe me, continuing now, so much worse so, and now with less talent. Yeah, the aerial assault match to start out that show where, as far as I know, Isaiah impressed pretty highly. Swanton off the box, fucking chair on his head type shit. Fucking impressed highly, but didn't return to the East Coast? Like, I don't really. All right. Well, then they had Scotty and Drake. Two-ring Psycho Circus death match. Tangled Web 4. The last Tangled Web that happened. Two rings. I think it was like fucking fans bring the weapons. They had shitloads of thumbtacks. They had fucking barbed wire everywhere. Fucking glass. Fucking panes of glass. Panes of glass they weren't supposed to use. All sorts of crazy shit. And the other ring was completely topped with a barbed wire net. Scaffolds next to that shit to recreate and do the spots that JC and Pondo did in their fucking circus death match back in, I think it was like, '02, '03, some old early shit. So that was your last year's Tangled Web. Again, Scotty and Drake. Then you had the next show, because CZW always follows great stuff with all right. So then next show was Down with the Sickness. Yeah, I mean, you know, because they're just still doing the there's a thing too. Let me fucking point this out right quick. And this is nothing against Chris Cash, because I thought the dude had fucking tons of intensity. He had tons of love for the company. He had what you want out of a guy who's in CZW. He wanted to make it work. He wanted to make CZW that shit. And he went out there and busted his fucking ass no matter what was going on. But the fact that they're still running tribute shows to him, and they don't run a fucking tribute show for Trent fucking Acid on a yearly basis, it's disgusting to me. I'm sorry. It doesn't fucking float with me. Because when it comes right down to it, be fucking honest, who did more for CZW? I mean, if you want to really call just like, all right, well, I guess we were better friends with that guy. I mean, I think that's even harder to fucking, that's a hard go to say. Again, it's nothing against Chris Cash, man. I'm all for honoring every one of these guys that passed. But Jesus Christ, they've now ran more Chris Cash shows than years that he's worked in the company. I mean, at this certain point, like, you're going to get fucking, you know, 10 years into Chris Cash shows, and you're going to have a bunch of people showing up going, who the fuck is Chris Cash? Like, and that sucks, but that's the fuck. Even with you reminding them on a yearly basis, you're going to get new fans that are just going to, if you're still around, you're going to get new fans that are going to go, what the fuck? What are they talking about? It's just, there's a point where you just got to let it be. And you know, you could hang up a banner, you could, you know, remind people in your own way, but I don't understand to run a tribute show for one guy for the rest of eternity and then just pretty much let years pass without even mentioning the other dude. The other dude, the other dudes, the other many, many dudes. And I just think it comes off as disrespectful to only acknowledge one of those guys. And then maybe you run another show and then you go, hey, yeah, well, this is for everybody else. Like, that's still not really fucking right. That's just my opinion. So anyway, and it's not like these fucking guys, you know, the first couple of years, you've seen the fucking guys come out for a tribute show and fucking damn near kill himself to honor their boy. That's something you saw. Now, okay, Down with the Sickness last year. Horrible fucking show. One of the worst shows of the fucking year. There couldn't have been more botches on that fucking show if people tried. $5 Wrestling has more fucking legit technical fucking wrestling without botches than this fucking show had. Fucking Botchamania, a whole Botchamania episode doesn't have as much botches as that fucking show had. They bring in this fucking Trent Seven and MK McKinnon because they got fucking in that little bullshit company over there. Because Trent Seven runs a little bullshit company that DJ happens to like. So they put them against Philly's Most Wanted. And it was fucking horrendous. To none of Philly's Most Wanted's fault. I mean, what the fuck are you going to do? And then all you hear is, no, they're good, though. No, you just got to watch their stuff from over there. Oh, I do? Okay. No, I don't. And I saw them in fucking Best of the Best, just as fucking bad. Well, maybe not just as bad, but still bad enough to validate the fact that they're fucking horrible. So, anyway. You had fucking Dev versus BJ Whitmer on the fucking main event. They botched everything from the fucking start to the finish, including the finish of that fucking match. Enough said. They had like three overseas shows after that. I'm not going to review that. I wasn't there. Really can't say shit about it. I wasn't at the next show either, but I will comment a little bit. That was Cerebral in October. Yeah, Devin versus Fox, world title. And you had Brain Damage go over the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont. So Brain Damage, a guy who had been out since previous fucking December, and no mention of him whatsoever since then. No mention of Cult Fiction, completely buried the stable of Cult Fiction. Now bring back the guy who was like their fucking enforcer, their fucking badass, their fucking guy. Bring him back against the uprising star of Matt Tremont. Put over Damage and then fucking send Brain Damage, send Brain Damage on his way again, where now you can't contact him again for probably still. What the fuck kind of, so, all right, so there's that, all right? So, you got that. There's your October. You got November, Night of Infamy. Here's where we start to heat up, right? You got UHA Nation's arena debut. Wow, you're seeing, okay, shit, now they're getting new talent in this motherfucker, all right. You got Mia Yim and Greg Excellent tearing shit up, fucking damn near stealing that fucking show, you know? You got fucking Devin Masada world title. You got fucking Sammy versus Adam Cole. Sammy fucking wins the junior title finally over Adam Cole after chasing it for a bunch of time. Fucking crazy match. Great shit. Sammy finally gets the fucking junior title. So now, boom, you got that. Fucking December. Cage of Death, which again, can't really count too much of because Cage of Death is not like just any other show of the year. It's Cage of Death. It's their WrestleMania. So then you got on that, Jake Chris versus Dave Chris. Let's fucking wonder. You got Philly's Most Wanted versus Homicide and Kingston. You got Sammy Callahan defending his junior heavyweight title the first time against AR Fox, who has just been tearing shit up for the past fucking 16 months at least on CZW since then. Matt Tremont, fucking Danny Havoc, you know, big fucking dream match for, you know, that up and coming Tremont who they just squashed 2 months ago to fucking Mr. I don't know where he's at. And then you got an insane Cage of Death match with Devin going over again for no reason against fucking Scotty Vortex, Ego, and Masada. But fucking ballistic match. I don't give a fuck who went over in that match because that match, every one of those guys bust their fucking ass. Unbelievable fucking Cage of Death. Love that fucking match. Really, really good shit. So, yeah, great Cage of Death, right? All right. So, yeah, I feel like I'm going to take another break and then I'll get into 2012, and we'll lead into where we are now. And I'm going to tell you a bunch of things and a bunch of people who I thought were misused through time. And some of these windows have passed. And some of them, maybe they're still open. I don't know. But let me take another break, and then I'll be back.
Oh, killer. Baby. Kanye, this that 1970s terror flow, huh?
Yeah, I hear people let's talking about who high, who not. Man, they don't know we finna kill the game this year. Killer, yay, come on.
Street mergers, I legislated the nerve. I never hated on murders, premeditated. I've served, I hesitated, I've served. I get trained, hips from a block away. Drinking sake on the Suzuki, we in no stock of bay. Playing soccer, stupid, stay in the sucker's place. Plug your ace, take your girl, fuck her face. She dealing with killer, so you love her taste. Swallowing killer, cause you love the taste. I got bored up with crooked kitchen orders that I'm cooking, but got caught up with the trips and would've thought I was from Brooklyn. It get boring just looking, feel like Bill Cosby.
in the pudding. Now the dashboard is wetting from my hard tangled grammar. Interior, interior, star spangled banner. Car game bananas, mob man and Santa. Guns everywhere like the car came with hammers. He's back.
They trying to say he. I hear niggas saying he. But I flow the truest. The games and the nooses. Our girls the models. They coochies the juices. Yeah, they say he.
Your legs behind your head. Got me air warm, hun. Lime and red. You got pets, me too. Minds are dead. Dog, spot me. Gators, that's necessary. Accessories, my closet, pet cemetery. I get approached by animal activists. I live in the zoo. I run scandal with savages. All my niggas get together to gab a loot. Bodyguard for what dog? I'd rather shoot. I go to war. Old Tim, batted boots. Hand grenade, goggle, and a y'all don't even know the name of my flip. It would touch me, tease me when cases of shit. You don't know about the cases I get. Court case, briefcase, suitcase, cases of Chris. Ow.
They trying to say he.
No, no,
I hear niggas saying he.
No, no,
but I flow the truest. The games and the nooses. Our girls the models. They coochies the juices. Yeah, they say he.
My bitch is pure thick, play razor tag, slice your face, pure it. It's I who come by, drive through, gator toe Maury, three quarters, sky blue. Look at mommy, eyes blue, 5'2". I approach the high boot, high you. Pony skin Louis, oh, you fly too. You a stewardess, good ma, I fly too. Now a nigga got fake in the bait. Harlem shake, nah, I'm in Harlem shaking the weight. Shaking the bait, shaking the jake. Kill you, shoot the funeral up there, Harlem shake at your weight. Just your picture though, you still facing the lake. I'm lasting, you couldn't wait to escape. But anyone who owes it though, had to load the foe. I hope a nigga heard when I said I told you so.
They trying to say he. I hear niggas saying he. But I flow the truest, the games and the nooses. Our girls the models, they coochies the juices. Yeah, they say he.
Trying to fucking get an extension cord while I'm doing this fucking show to try to fix this fucking problem a little easier, but yeah, it's too difficult. So all right, January, I think I was up to January. There we go. January was the month that, you know, everything came about that they were going to lose the arena. The arena was going to be no more. Which was hugely relied on as far as CZW went, as far as independent wrestling went, for a lot of different things. Now, this is a stellar show. They whipped this show together to be pretty fucking substantial. And, yeah, you know, Fox versus UHA Nation. You had Sammy Callahan versus Rich Swann. You had fucking Greg Excellent versus Mia again, tearing it up again. You had Eddie Kingston versus Joker. And you had DJ versus Zandig, which, you know, I mean, just broke tons of shit and, you know, a bunch of spots and all of that stuff. But, I mean, the wrestling that went on prior to that, fucking fantastic stuff. Then February, because what does CZW do following? Yeah, well, they did Super Saturday, which was like a fucking Indiana joint, which, again, I wasn't really there or anything, so I can only say so much. They had Danny Havoc match remount was supposedly pretty crazy. Fox versus Samurai Del Sol. Another tremendous talent. crazy stuff. Okay, then they had 13, their 13th anniversary show. Fucking horrific. Fucking absolutely fucking, just a straight up abortion. So that was that. I was there for that one. Thanks, guys. Fucking another, just like they didn't even give a fuck. Here's your anniversary show. They might as well also call every one of these horrible shows a fan appreciation, because it really does show your appreciation, which is zero. Then you got the aerial assault in March in this little tiny back of a fucking gym in Philly, where they could only fit three sides of the ring crowd-wise. So, like, the one side of the ring was an entranceway, and the other side was crowd. The other three sides were crowd, so it was, you know, kind of tight. Some good stuff, though. I mean, you had Mia Yim, Greg Excellent, tables, ladders, and chairs match. Fucking tore it up. You know, pretty much stole the fucking show. I mean, they fucking killed it. You had Masada actually win the world title off of Devin, which was long, long overdue, because Devin was not ever booked to be the world title or world champion. They just had him carry that shit around and then just fucking booked him in horrible fucking matches. And it was such a lackluster fucking world title reign because it was booked that way. You know, Devin, I've said time and time again, he can work in any fucking situation. You can put him in the main event. He's not going to be like a guy who can't keep up with anybody in the ring. He's not a guy who can't fucking work a tournament of death. He's not a guy who can't work best of the best. He can work any one of those fucking things. But if you put a fucking title on him and then you put him in a bunch of meaningless fucking matches, no build, no angle, no nothing, you have him work ego fucking five times, and then you just fucking randomly throw people in there with him, and it doesn't matter. Heel face, this, that, fucking, there's no angle, there's no gimmick, there's no nothing. And in classic fucking CZW fashion, they create a fucking stable, including the Devin, after he doesn't have the fucking world title, which is exactly what they do. This is like fucking, you know, Four Loko. Just have him fucking hold the titles for 6 months, and then we'll give him a fucking angle and turn him heel. Like, oh, that's great, because you never got him over his faces because you never tried to do shit with him. So, great fucking job, DJ. So, anyway, so you had Drake versus Sammy tear that shit up. Fucking, you had, it was like Philly's Most Wanted and Dave Chris versus, what the fuck was it? It was like Jake Chris, Chuck Taylor, and, man, it's slipping my mind right now. But you had that shit, and that was a good match. I think AR Fox. And that was another really good match. That was the match that Joker brought his face paint back. G's brought his, you know, his fro joint back, and everything started to look really good as far as, like, those guys, they've been consistent in the ring. Matter of fact, I'm gonna take a break on reading off these cards right after I talk about the main event to talk about Philly's Most Wanted for a minute. Aerial Assault match, fucking UHA Nation, Del Sol, fucking, they win the fucking, the Aerial Assault. Great stuff, right? All right, so UHA's all set. He's going to be in best of the best, this and that. Well, that would soon change. But anyway, Philly's Most Wanted. These, all right, so here's the thing. Like, G's was on fire as a fucking heel. Even, you know, previous to what they, you know, bringing Joker back and doing the Philly's Most Wanted thing. On fire as a heel. You cannot have a guy more over as a heel in an independent company these days, or many fucking days, as to what this fucking guy was doing. They had the fucking the heel in the palm of their fucking hands, and they couldn't do a fucking thing with it. They didn't know what to fucking do with it. So they bring Joker back. Joker's back, cool. He, you know, he's in there, he's doing his crush shit. He's just fucking annihilating people. Again, what the fuck are you going to do with him? He's just fucking going to war with that shit. Now, what do? They just line up fucking opponents that don't mean shit. They should have been lining up motherfuckers. They didn't get it right until fucking Cage of Death when they put him up against fucking Homicide and Kingston. They were fucking on the mics calling out fucking, yo, fucking bring anybody. Bring any. We'll take anybody out. Anybody right fucking now. Bring them on fucking da-da-da-da-da. Next month they'd be like, fucking, here's the Runaways or here's the fucking, I don't know, here's fucking Azrael and Bandido who, hey, are great fucking talents, but that they have fucking 2 seconds of a push or a fucking, hey, introduction or an angle or a setup or anything in CZW to make them faces. If you have heels that are so over the fucking top heels that not only can motherfuckers not know their names, like, there's no way that people won't know their names in CZW because they're that over as heels, they can't get their fucking names out of their heads. Now, faces that you need to bring in there to fuck with them need to be the biggest fucking faces you know, like your Homicide Kingstons, like those type of guys. Makes fucking sense, right? Yeah. Well, you know, okay, of course, you know, when they bring in Irish Airborne, they fucking have them work once, like in fucking, I think they worked them over in, like, fucking Indiana or some shit in front of 150 people, and then fucking broke them up before they even brought them over here to fuck with, each other for another 6 months, and now they're back together. And I mean, but they could have done so many different fucking things. The days of them bringing in, you know, one shot deals from other companies or, you know, hot teams or that type of thing. The best fucking thing they did with them was the Briscoes. They did that for fucking 3 months and then fucking trashed it. Like, there's something wrong with that. Like, and not to say that, hey, man, you could have booked the Briscoes all year. Of course, I don't expect that type of shit. But, fucking, we got these fucking M.K. McKinnon and fucking Johnny Skipnuts fucking from England and shit. Yo, well, wrestle them because I've seen a tape and I think they're good. Well, nobody thinks you're good, DJ. Nobody thinks you're good. So your eyes, obviously, what's good isn't fucking reality at all. Not even fucking remotely close to what you think is good to everybody else. It's not a fact, dude. It's not a fact. Because you would stop fucking wrestling if you thought, if you knew how fucking horrible you were in the ring, if you saw yourself the way other people see you, you wouldn't be fucking wrestling anymore. You wouldn't be main eventing this fucking Saturday, and I would be ordering the iPay-per-view. But because you decided to book yourself in the fucking main event, I'm paying for this shit. I fucking promise you, I ain't paying for this shit. So, okay, so that, now let me get back to the thing. All right. So then, after that, they work Best of the Best. Well, before Best of the Best, now guess what? Now here, before Best of the Best, and then I'll go back into some other shit. UHA Nation, the guy everybody was behind, everybody was into, oh shit, he's going to be a Best of the Best, he's going to tear it up, he's trying to win this motherfucker. Yeah, well, guess what? On a Friday show of a triple header for Dragon Gate USA, he fucking broke his shit. So, yep, not happening. Now, here's the thing. Here's another reason why I keep saying and I keep harping on a lot of these names. This is why I've read all these cards off. This is why I've done this, because, listen, Drake moved to California to be with his family. You know, and because, you know, his wife's family lives out there, and I wish him all the luck in the world. He deserves the fucking best life he could possibly have. He's fucking done everything he possibly could for CZW, and fucking, man, if there's a better life for that guy out there, you know, he's living all fucking clean and sober now and shit. If there's a better life out there in Cali for this guy, he fucking earned it. Fucking kill it. Just fucking live out that bitch. Fucking tear it up in PWG if that's fucking close enough that you could do that every month, every time they run. Do that, man. Bless the fucking West Coast with what you've been giving us. That's what it is. Okay. Be that as it may. Sami Callihan. He cannot be that far away from being signed. He can't. But in the meantime, Gabe, DJ's boy Gabe, snatched him the fuck up. Sammy has already taken bookings over fucking CZW to work Dragon Gate or Evolve or whatever. And so is AR Fox. And Adam Cole is working Ring of Honor over CZW. CZW can't even put that motherfucker on an iPay-per-view anymore because of Ring of Honor. So it's funny as fuck when, like, all this homegrown talent, all these guys who are your main events, all these guys who are your fucking guys, your go-to guys, your fucking reason why people were watching, are now property of somebody else. And you can book them if they ain't busy with the other guys. So that's the funny shit to me, is like, CZW is a secondhand company to motherfuckers who came up in CZW. Now, not that Sammy came up in CZW, but let's not get it fucking twisted as far as, you know, where his fucking name really, really blew up and where he cemented himself as a fucking top-notch, no-denying fucking superstar, because, you know what I mean? Like, people really caught to notice fucking Sammy Callahan when he tore it up on this fucking East Coast via CZW. And this won't be the last place fucking Sammy tears up, but Jesus Christ, now you're fucking second fiddle. Now this is what it is. Now it's Gabe. And who fucking, who fucking brought Gabe into this motherfucker? See, the same reason why John Zandig started looking at motherfuckers around him that wanted to just hang around, the Rob Feinsteins, the Gabes, the those guys, why he started to look at them like fucking enemies. Funny when you can't book half of your own fucking talent because now they're signed to other companies and they're working other fucking dates and this and that. And there's no hate on the fucking guys that are taking those other dates because they're probably getting paid more. They're definitely getting more fucking exposure. They have a million and one fucking reasons why they should be doing exactly what the fuck they're doing, and that's something else. And because, again, they're getting booked like shit in your fucking company. So, but do you see where this puts CZW? Do you see we're fucking booking horrible fucking matches for G's for all this fucking time, and now G's is getting fucking signed? Well, I don't know about signed, but he's getting work over there through Ring of Honor. This guy's on fucking SmackDown. This guy's on fucking TNA pay-per-views. This guy's on Impact. This guy's on this. This guy's on that. Now all of a sudden, motherfuckers is just taking shit for granted, and from what I heard, they just signed him up for that fucking show on Saturday without even asking him, because they just take that shit for granted. They're just like, oh, yeah, we'll use him this month. Maybe you won't, dog. Do you understand that these motherfuckers might start having plans if you stop fucking using them? If you don't use motherfuckers to the best of their ability and someone else decides they're gonna, that they might not be on your fucking, on your fave five and shit? You know what I mean? They might not be in your fucking, on your buddy list. Yeah, I mean, like, what the fuck is going on? This is what I mean. This is, you know, and yeah, okay, Aerial Assault fucking probably stole the show, Mia versus Greg. Great for fucking Greg. Great for fucking Mia. Do you think the Mia and Greg are going to main event your fucking show every month? Fuck no. I think both of them have fucking spots, and they have both legitimate reasons for being fucking solid fucking staples of your company. They both should be able to be playing role. But Mia's in Japan half the time because, again, you missed the boat, DJ. You had her fucking standing around being a fucking valet for a year when motherfuckers started booking her in fucking Japan for 6 months straight. You know, and Greg, the guy can go. The guy's a great comedy dude. He has a lot of aspects to him that he can do. And I believe that those guys should have, you know, solid jobs with the company. I'm not, you know, disrespecting them like that, but those aren't going to be your fucking main event people every month. Like, all right, me and Greg fucking stole the show. All right, fucking next month, Mia versus Masato, let's fucking go. Okay, yeah, Greg versus, Greg and Aaron Fox fucking tear it up, fucking five-star match, baby. Like, dude, it's not going to happen. So, okay, yeah, Sammy fucking Dragon Gate USA Evolve, Fox, Dragon Gate USA Evolve, Gay Porn, whatever he's doing on the weekend. Masada, I just saw Masada starting to get signed on Dragon Gate, so that's cool. Just keep letting Gabe hang out, because he's doing great things for you. I don't remember the last fucking talent that CZW got from Dragon Gate. I mean, if you want to count, like, a Gargano or a Chuck Taylor, who I believe worked there before. Chuck Taylor, for the very most, has definitely worked there before there was a Dragon Gate. But, When did we... Oh, shit. I haven't seen a Japanese name on this fucking card yet that came from Dragon Gate, even when they were in the same building. So that's crazy. Oh, yeah, you're running a doubleheader with them next month. I'm sure that'll work out for CCW. Well, you know how that'll work out for CCW? You'll get to book your guys because they'll still be in the same building instead of being somewhere else and taking that booking over you. So that's where it'll work out for you, because I don't know if you understand this, but Gabe has done nothing but use other companies to make his own shit better through the history of fucking him running business. That's how he's fucking done it since he was in Ring of Honor doing shit till fucking now when he's doing this fucking Dragon Gate fucking Evolve shit. Just stop getting it fucking twisted and pretending like he's your best friend and fucking business partner. You're a fucking tool bag to him. You ain't shit. He's doing nothing but taking your fucking talent, and you ain't seeing a goddamn thing out of his shit, are you? Nope. So, oh, maybe you can get Pac. Oh, yeah, that's right. Pac, I think, got signed, too, so I guess you missed that boat, too, didn't you? Mm-hmm. Yeah, could have fantasy booked some shit in your company with that? Nah, missed it. So, yeah. This is what I mean. Oh, Adam Cole, yeah. Can't even use you on the iPay-per-view. Oh, no, I'm free for best of the best, but you gotta put me on the dark match, dude. I'm sorry. It sucks, because, well, I can't be on a camera for you guys anymore. I know I train there, but, buddy, I just can't. You know, and that's the thing. As more of this goes on and more of this happens and you get this, you can't, and I've said this a bunch of times. If your dark match ends up being something that you can't match the standards on the rest of your fucking card, then you have no business running that fucking dark match. You can't run some crazy fucking dark match that your next three matches aren't going to come anywhere fucking near. You better be able to fucking hit the ground running off of your first fucking on pay-per-view match, because when everybody's like, oh, that first match is off the chain, you'd be like, no, it wasn't. You're like, no, yeah, the fucking Cole match? You're like, I didn't see a Cole match. Oh, you watched the IA pay-per-view? Yeah, you didn't see that match. Oh, I know the next three matches blew, but shit, you should have seen that. Nah, that doesn't work. That's not... It's fucking crazy. So then you got Del Sol. Evolve, Dragon Gate. Yep. I saw that they're gonna use Masada coming up. Now I'm not saying they're locking him in or anything like that. Who fucking knows? But broke the ice on that one, didn't they? Who else they got? If G's and Ruckus, and I hope they do, start working fucking steady for Ring of Honor, call that another one that you ain't fucking with. All right, you know what I'm saying? Like, little by little, it becomes harder to book your own talent, and then what the fuck are you left with? All of this fucking talent that was lost in 2010 through all sorts of different circumstances, some things you can control, some things you can't. And then you wind up with a smaller deck to deal with. And then when that deck starts getting dwindled down through your own decisions and your own lack of fucking booking and your own lack of fucking putting shit together the right way and making people feel comfortable like it's their home and putting on the best fucking product out there. So that person might go in the back and say, hey, man, yeah, I know this company's offering me some more money, or this company, you know, might be doing a little better or something like that. But you know what? This is where I feel comfortable. This is where they make me look the best. This is where I feel like I shine, because they got my fucking back over here. These are my guys. There's no way that these guys aren't going to bat for me every time I go out there. These motherfuckers are supporting me, and this is why I fucking wrestle. I don't think there's that many people that do that. Danny, there's not that many people that are saying that when they come back into the CZW locker room. And I ain't one of these wrestlers, so I can't say whether they are or aren't, but I'm just watching them leave. I'm just watching from the fucking sidelines and watching them leave like fucking Penn State players just fucking bounce, you know? And all right, best of best. Fans marked out for ACH. Fans marked out for Willie Mack. Where the fuck they been at? Ain't seen them back since. Please come back. Please come back. All right, well, no, not going to happen. Maybe we'll see you next April, buddy. Again, maybe they'll bring Drake back. Maybe they will. Maybe they'll fly him in. Well, Same thing goes for maybe they'll bring some Willie Mack in. You know, fans definitely want him back. Haven't been able to bring him back since. You know, big excuse for not bringing B-Boy in was fly-ins or a bitch, man. That's big money, man. I can't just be flying people in like that. Well, I mean, that's the boat Drake's going to be in now. It's not just a drive. It's not just throw a couple people in the car and drive. Like, that's not going to just fucking happen for CZW anymore. So Drake, who was a flagship of their company, held the title for longer than anybody, tore that shit up on the fucking junior scene, tore that shit up in Tournament of Death again this year, all that shit, for the most part, gone. You can get him over here for a show or two shows or whatever that, but if that's where his life is going to be in California, well, you better come up with fucking answers for what the fucking face of your company is going to look like from now on out, because it ain't that. So don't have to tell you. And then they followed that up with Drake and G's in May. You know, pretty quick, but you know, to the point match. They did what did they do? Jake and Dave again. Then they did Drew and Havoc, No Rope Barbed Wire, which, you know, put it however you want it with that, but it June Tournament of Death, great time. Like I said, Drake shined, everybody shined. I thought that just all out great fucking Tournament of Death. But again, now July. I said it before, I say it again. Sammy and Drake, 1 hour match. That made every fucking person who paid for that shit either sitting there or paid for that shit sitting at home on iPay-per-view like I did, got their money's worth just off of that match. Masada versus Fox wasn't too bad neither, but the rest of that show was fucking horrendous. Fucking horrendous. So that's what it is. I mean, it's just, that's exactly what the fuck it is as far as I'm concerned. Now, okay, this weekend you got this. Jesus. Rory Mondo and Latin Dragon versus Mr. Tofiga and Alexander James. You got Cora versus Ryan Slater. Fucking completely random. Sammy Callahan versus Ruckus. Fucking, okay, yeah. Rich Swann, who, again, they completely missed the fucking boat on, because another guy who was tremendously talented, pretty much was first with CZW, they did not fantasy book this dude. They didn't run around fucking booking him in the best fucking things possible. They found a bunch of stupid little fucking angles. They tried those the best they could. Eventually had a stupid little idea to fucking put him in blackout. He probably worked fucking two matches in blackout. They fucking break the fucking blackout up, and then fucking dude comes back like fucking months later and is like, ah, well, Rich Swann versus Shane Strickland, which honestly I think will be a good match, because Shane Strickland seems like a good up-and-coming dude. I've seen him, you know, in Aerial Assault, you know, and a few other, you know, I think he's got some shit to him. He's got some charisma and all that, and I think that match could actually surprise the fuck out of people who wouldn't expect it to. Good shit. Alright, but again, what happens next month? Oh, wait, Evolve next month, so maybe Swann will be back then too. But, fuck it. October, let's bank on Swann's not going to be there. Azrael and Bandito versus Lucky 13 and Devin Moore, because, I don't know what, last month, Azrael and Bandito beat, what was it, Lucky and Danny Havoc. So now Lucky and another guy get a fucking tag title shot. Oh, that makes tons of sense. All right, so then, and the match won't be shit. Straight up. Air Fox versus Alex Colon. Match shouldn't be bad. Again, I mean, doesn't make shitloads of sense, but alright, whatever. Masada vs. Joker should be match of the night. That should tear it up. Fucking strong style, fucking heavyweight title, open challenge. Yeah, fucking Masada versus Joker should tear it the fuck up. And then DJ putting himself over, putting himself in the main event. Tangled Web in New Jersey. DJ Hyde versus Tremont. Fuck out of here, dude. Fuck out of here with that dumb shit, man. First off, New Jersey, you can't get away with fucking murder. Last year, fucking Tangled Web was a fucking circus death match. This year it's in Jersey and DJ Hyde is fucking half of it. Okay, buddy. Well, let me know how that goes via text or some kind of shit, because I ain't fucking paying for that dumb shit. You out of your fucking mind. It's just retarded. Like, I can't possibly put any type of fucking logic to why this needs to continue to go on. Like, I don't know. I can't justify paying for it, watching it, fucking anybody else watching it, paying for it, whatever. And like I said, I mean, I don't know where you go forward from this. Okay, what do you do next month? What do you do next month? None of these matches have any fucking build. None of it. None of it. Okay, DJ Hyde versus Tremont. So if you don't call this the end because it's Tangled Web and assuredly should blow something fucking off, if this isn't the end, what do we do next month? More DJ Hyde versus Matt Tremont? Oh, fucking fans will line up for that shit. None of these other matches in this whole fucking card right here have any build. Whether AR Fox Cologne is good or not, whether Masada Joker is good or not, none of this shit has any build. There's nothing storyline worthy about this fucking card. So then next month you just put together another random fucking card and go, fucking, it's still CZW, guys. Fuck it. You must think you're booking towards retards, because this shit doesn't make any fucking sense for a normal human being to just be like, all right, well, that sounds like an awesome card. Fucking sign me up. Bullshit, dude. Fucking bullshit. And that's why I'm done. That's why I'm done just fucking showing up like a fucking lemming every month. Like, well, I guess I'll just see how it turns out. Like, fuck you. It costs me way too much fucking money and all that to go and all that. And minus that, well, yeah, minus that, product or not, your little fucking bitch-ass referee started some personal shit with me, and if I show up there, I'm going to catch a fucking charge. So rather than doing that, I'm not showing up there. And then I'm going to judge and figure out whether I'm going to pay for it via pay-per-view or that type of thing. Otherwise, I won't. But just already the chip on my shoulder via everything else that's gone on, you better put on some fucking good shit, because I'm not just settling for some old dumb shit. And to think that you're the only show in town or something like that. Oh, okay, yeah, you just booked Sammy Callahan versus Ruckus. Oh, you just booked AR Fox versus Alex Colon. Oh, that's good, because they already got AR Fox booked against fucking Ricochet for the iPay-per-view for your September doubleheader, John. So who are you booking fucking AR Fox against on that show? Because if people are paying to see AR Fox, they're going to book to see him against fucking, who's going to be AR Fox versus DJ Hyde and shit, and then you're going to have fucking AR Fox versus Ricochet on the fucking other show? Which one do you think they're paying for, DJ? It doesn't make any fucking sense. Straight up. So, I don't know. I'm probably going to quick run through Raw and shit, but I'm going to take what I think will be my last break. I don't know. I know I took 3 fucking breaks. Well, thought my house was going to burn down in the first 5 minutes of the show, so leave me alone. All right? Kind of a rough go on tonight. Think I'm covering everything I want to. CZW-wise, that's, a lot of shit on my chest with that. And just so many fucking balls dropped. And I ain't talking about AR Fox, but, CZW used to be a whole different thing. It used to be something completely different. It used to have a different standard. It used to have a different a different measuring stick, it used to be compared to. It used to have a whole different standard that they had to live up to month in and month out on the reputation of CZW. This is just a company booked on those three letters. This isn't that. So, I mean, people can keep clinging to that, and that's fine, and I understand it, because believe me, I did it for long enough too, but I ain't on that dumb shit no more. That's thing of the past, and we're going to, you know, I'll still cover it. I'll still talk about it. I'm going to start talking about a lot more other stuff. I'm going to open this motherfucker up a little bit more. I'm going to give you a lot more perspective on a lot of different things. And, you know, we'll see. I mean, what I conjure up next week or whatever. It was mostly this that I really had to talk about tonight. And I'll probably, you know, dabble into a little bit more of it too. But I'm going to touch on a few of the WWE type things. And I'll take this break and then I'll do that. All right? Drag it.
In the cup, go stick 'em up. Huh. Ladies, grab your shirts and lift 'em up. Huh. Let me see your ass, ladies, back it up. Huh. My clothes is on the front line, acting up. Huh. Let me see your guns, what, throw 'em up. Huh. Let me see your guns, what, throw 'em up. Huh. Let me see your guns, what, throw 'em up. Get a beat up, way to cut, lighten it up, rag on my head, eyes looking halfway dead. Pull my thugs to the club, straight off the street. I'm iceberg till my feet about a third of the week. Relax, baby, I'm fast, cause he touched your ass. I ain't say shit when your friend touched my dick. I see breakfast scheming, we all in the spot, but that's hip hop. We rap niggas from off the block. Is it me, or is it getting hot in here? I think somebody's about to get shot in here. The 9 mil guarantee to clear the spot in here. And we ain't get searched here, we got clocks.
Why you never say when? You ain't had enough.
Get it up. Huh. The ice on your wrist, where you pick it up.
There you go. Man, I was happy to see football back. I watched the for the most part, I watched the Saints and Cardinals jaunt, and I couldn't be more hyped for football. I really couldn't. I see a little douchebag fucking T.O. sign with Seattle, so we'll see that homo twice a year. He'll be witness to our fucking defense firsthand. And bottom line, it is what it is. You know, always a talented receiver, always one of the biggest douchebags in the NFL. So we'll see you next year, dog. And twice. So good luck with that shit, because our defense don't fucking play. One thing about our team is pretty fucking consistent is our defense, and we hit fucking hard without having bounties on motherfuckers, which, you know, it's funny when, you know, you see these fucking Saints fans, like, trying to, like, take credit for, like, yeah, we hit so hard, you gotta fine us. Like, oh, is that right? Because all of those fucking bounties that were recorded that motherfuckers tried to put our team away, player by player, they tried to injure our guys in the playoffs. And they specifically call people out on that game, players that they wanted taken off our fucking team, hurt, stretchered off the field. Guess who won that motherfucking game? Niners, motherfucker. That's what it is. So hit so hard, you have to find us. Oh, yeah, find easy, motherfucker. God damn it. So, anyway, yeah, we going to fucking see next year. We really, really going to see next month. Fuck next year. Next month, and come Friday, I'm going to try to find a way to stream that shit, because we got the fucking Vikings preseason joint on Friday, and I'm really hoping I can find a way to stream that shit or something, so I can catch some of my, you know, my second team, my bench guys doing some shit and see what they do, because we have a pretty fucking deep team this year, so there's a lot of guys who I'm really interested to see how they come out. And, I can't wait till opening day. That's going to be the shit, man. We're opening up against the Packers. Fuck that, man. We don't have 2 seconds to bullshit. We're coming out of the fucking gates against one of the best teams in the NFC and definitely one of the best offenses in the NFC. So we can do nothing less than come out there and fucking show them why we're the best defense in the NFC. Straight up. And why our fucking offense is high-powered. And last year, Green Bay's defense was fucking garbage. So if we can come in there and pick apart their fucking defense with our new targets on offense, man, look out. The league will be on notice as of fucking week two. Anyway, WWE. One thing that I heard, like, a big fucking rumor about going into Raw was apparently, and I don't know if it's true or not because I wasn't fucking there, but supposedly they said Brock Lesnar had got into some shit with Ryback backstage, and he fucked Ryback up. He punched Ryback in the face and all this shit. And then, you know, Brock left or whatever. But this was, like, way earlier in the day. So, and they said, his eyes fucked up. Now, Ryback's eye has been fucked up on and off, and from what I hear, a lot of powerlifters do that shit. They go too hard and blow fucking blood vessels in their eyes and shit. And I have seen that from Ryback in the past with the blood vessel in the eye thing. I'm going to play devil's advocate on this just on the off chance that it actually did happen. Because I don't know. It could be completely bullshit. First off, enough time passed where Brock could have definitely came back to the building. I believe Brock is enough of a loose cannon now. See, Brock, the only reason he came back to the WWE is because fucking he had intestines cut out of himself because all the shit he did back in the day. And he couldn't train like an MMA fighter anymore. That shit would have killed him. Just the training alone, not even like the in-ring stuff. He was on the top of the fucking UFC. If he was continuing to be on the top of the UFC and not getting beat the fuck up and still able to train like he was, he would have never came back to the WWE. It was a fucking fallback plan because he couldn't fucking compete in UFC anymore. He was going to keep being declined and keep being beat by people who didn't have part of his intestines cut out because all the juice he used to do. So, you know, like that type of shit, that's why he came back here. But Brock, like, Yeah, you seen how he hit fucking Cena in that first altercation thing, you know, the first little, you know, scramble thing that they did when they ran together. He hit him way too hard. Like, he's not beyond doing that. And you know Brock's got to have a ridiculous chip on his shoulder because he's always been a flighty dude. He's always been the type of dude who's like, I don't know what I want to do. He wanted to be a Viking, then he wanted to be a fucking MMA fighter, then he wanted to be a, I mean, like, he's always done a bunch of different shit, and he's kind of like fly by night. Like, he's just going to do what he wants to do, and no one's going to stop him. And now when he comes back into the WWE, knowing that, fucking, I could probably legit beat up any of these fucking guys, no matter how big they are, no matter how fucking whatever, I've just went in with straight-up professional fighters, real fucking fighters, and I know that I could fucking probably beat up anybody that's looking at me right now. So when he gets in there with Cena, ah, yeah, I'll just hit him a little hard. What the fuck's he going to do? So it wouldn't surprise me if some words were exchanged backstage and there was some shit and he punched somebody in the face. It really wouldn't. Like, some people are like, oh, he wouldn't do that close to SummerSlam. Like, I don't think he fucking cares, and I don't think the WWE would even cut him off SummerSlam because it would hurt their buys no matter what fucking Brock Lesnar did. Unless he made, like, national news, like he fucking went on some Nick Gage shit or he fucking, yeah, I mean, or some Kurt Angle shit where he's, you know, stalking some chick and fucking driving around the building drunk and shit. I mean, maybe that type of thing they'll have to pull him off the pay-per-view. But I think just, like, yeah, getting into it backstage, like, nah, they'll fucking keep him apart, sweep it under the rug. They sure as shit aren't going to publicize it because it would murder fucking Ryback's streak. It would completely destroy his aura as a beast if someone just fucking punched him in the face backstage. And I don't know. I mean, like I said, it's happened before. His fucking eye's been fucked up before. His eye definitely did look like it was bothering him. Right before he did that little clothesline spot, his eye really did look like it was bothering him. So it didn't just look completely as it did in the past. Just like, oh, you know, broke blood vessel, but otherwise he looks like nothing's fucking phasing him. Like, it did look like it. But again, I don't know. Couldn't completely not happen. I'm just kind of playing devil's advocate on the situation. That's that. So both guys were there anyway. And they did that. They, you know, this fucking AJ thing is ridiculous. I don't like it at all. Not one fucking bit. They did Sheamus and fucking Del Rio, and Sheamus took his car, and I don't care. Orton, fucking, I don't like seeing that guy either. I don't know what to tell you. I just don't. I like Damian Sandow. I like what he's doing. I think he's, you know, great talent. He's doing really, really good stuff with his promos and everything else in there. I think they need to actually make it a pretty quick move and put, you know, an IC title on that guy or, you know, something along those lines to just allow him to carry out and walk around doing his thing, cutting his promos, putting on his ring work. I think he's one of those guys that not that he needs a belt, but he needs to be taken seriously. And I don't think your casual fan does as much so as the smart fan does. And, yeah, he's gold out there. He's doing really, really good stuff. Then they had, Kelly's back. No one gives a shit. Oh, yeah, and they did the Brock Lesnar thing with fucking Triple H and Brock's fucking threatening Shawn Michaels and, I'll see you before then. Like, he's going to come to his house and all this bullshit. And I don't really. And, I'm just breezing over Raw because I really didn't like it. They closed the show with CM Punk, and CM Punk seems to now, with this recent interaction, seems to be leaning a little bit more towards the heel side of things with the fact that, and after I'm done with this, I'll give like a couple minutes. If anybody does want to call in, chat, give their opinions on anything I said tonight, fucking have at it. It's 347-215-8300. But otherwise, you know, I'm going to say a couple more things, bullshit, and call the show, cut it probably, you know, around a 2-hour joint. Otherwise, but it seems like he's leaning a little bit more towards the heel side because they allowed him to play the shit talker who got his fucking, his bell rung type thing. You know what I mean? Like, fucking laid out the Big Show, laid out John Cena, then went on the mic, and yeah, I'm ending the show the same way I always do. I'm on top, and I'm laying people out, and that's what happens. Now go watch me go talk shit on top of the dead people, and then they fucking pop up and fucking beat the shit out of them, which it was just the Big Show. But, like, I find it funny because, like, even if you steer him towards the heel side of things, yeah, oh yeah, the fucking Big Show pops up and punches him in the face and then holds the belt up to no reaction. Like, what the fuck? Oh, boy. That's the way to get the guy over as a heel. Have the guy that no one cares about that's also supposed to be a heel hold the belt up, because that'll... What? I don't know what you're doing to me. I don't know what you're trying to... I think SummerSlam, or isn't that Sunday? I think it's Sunday. So, if so, great. Awesome. I want to see Triple H and Brock Lesnar, because I do hope Brock Lesnar snaps and just breaks Triple H into fucking 12 pieces. I hope he tears his quad, if he just, like, fucking rips his skin off and tears his quad in half like a phone book or some shit. I've had enough of Triple H. I've had enough of a lot of these fucking guys that are just overdone on TV personalities. It's not like they're even performers anymore. They're just, at best, a shell of their former self, if you even respected their former self. And then they're just guys that are just going to do whatever they're going to do. They're going to fucking say what they want. They're going to do what they want. They're going to leave. And they're just going to take that top spot, whether it be a main event or a half-hour promo, or whatever it is, and they're going to do it because, well, I've earned my reputation, I've had my spot, this is my spot, I'm taking it, I'm doing it, I don't care what you like. And that's just what, there's spoiled fucking spot-hogging whores, and they're just going to do that. But, like my boy Joey from the Wrestling Soup over there, you know, he says that the only thing that'll make this thing better is a bus flip. That's what he says. Like, if they more or less need, like, a WWE bus to just flip, and then they're just going to have to start from scratch because you get rid of all those old people and, all those you can't get rid of guys. Well, that bus flip, what are you going to do? Terrible tragedy. Okay, guess we're going to hire some new talent. It's kind of the truth. It's nothing on their own will or their own... good mind for the business, or knowing when it's time to say when. None of that is going to happen. It's just going to be as long as they want to do it, as long as they feel like doing it. That's exactly as long as they're going to do it for, because no one's going to stop them, especially as far as a guy like Triple H, that's pretty much going to be the owner of this company in, the next 5 years. He'll probably be the technical owner of this company, where eventually Vince just completely turns it over, and, It's going to be public knowledge, and I don't think it's going to be that far off. Maybe I'm ahead of time saying 5 years, but honestly, I don't think it's that far off. I really don't. We'll see. But not that big a fan of what I'm seeing on TV there. But what can you do? I mean, there's some small parts of glimmering hope with some of the things that they're doing, and some of the guys that are coming up. Hopefully this Pac signing is actually true. We start seeing that guy. We start seeing, the Tyler Black fucking, I think he could do some stuff. Dean Ambrose, John Moxley, he could do some great stuff. I forget what Brody Lee's new name is going to be, because I had seen that somewhere. And I think it's like Luke something. But he's going to tear shit up too, Brody Lee. There's a lot of fucking guys, and Cassius Ohno, fucking Chris Hero comes up and does some stuff. Especially they let him go in there and tangle with his boy, fucking Antonio Cesaro, fucking Claudio. There's a lot of different things that could go on. Well, I don't know. I can only hope for the best. I'm probably gonna call it a night. I ain't got no calls, nothing going on here. So I think I've said the majority of what I wanted to say. I guess I'll catch up next week with anything that I forgot.
that's it for the night. Let me see. Nah, I still got a couple more minutes. I definitely got plugs to do anyway. So, yeah, all right. Well, plugs. Fuck it, plugs, and maybe I'll think of something in there. If you would like an alternative or something to download when you're done listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, another show that is done on Wednesday nights is Women Love Wrestling 2 with Corey and Mel. They do the women's perspective on wrestling. They do their own, you know, their own thing. And good show. Check them out. WLW2.blogspot. Jesus. WLW2.blogspot.ca. That's good stuff. You could check out the Wrestling Soup tomorrow night. WrestlingSoup.com, 10:15 Eastern Standard Time, PM, and all that. Tuesday nights, Two Moms, One Show at this link here. This is www.blogtalkradio.com/Yakuza. And check out Stern Nation, my guys over there. Andrew Carluck, he does a whole lot of Stern talk. Stern's been on fire this week. His show's been awesome. And AGT comes back next week. I'm looking forward to that. From what I hear, without Sharon Osbourne. So I guess we'll see what goes on there. Don't really know. Also check out the Sports Den. Nick Two Scoops Russell and Paul Dube over there is www.ustream.tv/channel/sportsden. And I believe that's actually on right now. I think they started only like 10, 15 minutes ago. So if you want to, you know, follow this up with a little bit of Sports Den, some sports talk, they do their goddamn thing over there. So check that out. Definitely check me out, for Christ's sakes. Check me out. If you like what you're hearing, please tell a friend. I really appreciate it. You know, thank you for everybody who listened tonight. Let me find something to play on the outro. Just want to, you know, get more people listening. That's that. And again, thank you all for listening. Check you out next Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Yakuza Kick Radio. Peace.
Trying to get our two boys ready to carry them to golf tournament for practice, right? 12 cats live across the road. Our door's open. Screen's broke. We need to get a new screen door, but the screen's broke. So you come in through the screen, but you can't get back out of it. I turn and look. There's a little kitty cat in our kitchen. So I said, what are you doing in here, little kitty cat? By that time, the cat turns, tries to get back out. That screen won't go that way. Cat starts going, meow, all crazy. And I told our players, we need more dogs. Bo's barking in the back. I have to go shut Bo up. Mel's like, what's going on? I said, there's a cat in the house. Cat in the house? I said, yeah, there's a cat in the house. So I told our players, I tried to let it out the front door. Meow, meow. The cat's still going crazy in there. And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats. We need more dogs.
Booker, I want to have sex with your wife. And I'm not just talking any kind of sex with your wife. No, no, no. I'm talking, you know, that kind of bestiality sex with your wife. You know, what I want with your wife, Charmel, I want to have that kind of perverted sex.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.